Our first story is from a woman you have seen around town, or if not, then one of her many children, or possibly maybe you have met up with somebody to have coffee or gelato in her shop. The story of her, or the title of her story is called How I Got Here. Please welcome the wonderful Amy Petrozzini.
Wow, it is blinding. So I was told not to read off paper, but I'm really nervous, so I brought it with me. Okay. Anyway, threading the needle, threads and needles, bringing things together. Oftentimes when people say threading the needle, they think of doing something with precision, something well thought out, balanced. I've never really been well thought out or precise. I suppose I'm more literal. When I hear threading the needle, I think of sewing a garment, a quilt, a jacket, a skirt, getting pieces of fabric and stitch by stitch, bringing them together, making them one. This is my story, a small collection of how I got here. Much of my life, I've been mostly alone. And I say mostly alone because I grew up in Chicago, surrounded by millions of people. When my mom moved away, I would go days on end without being seen or spoken to. Chicago is so big, you can go to the same place at the same time every day and rarely see a familiar face. My introverted part loves the anonymity. My extroverted part does not. Sometimes I really love people, threads. When I was a kid growing up, we always traveled to my Aunt Joan's house for Thanksgivings, Christmases, Easters. There'd be lots of food, lots of family, lots of noise, lots of chaos, in a good way. The food brought us together, threads. We'd hop in the station wagon and we'd drive about 12 hours to Princeton, New Jersey. My dad would teach us songs along the way, and we would sing the same song over and over again and drive my mom up the wall. When we got there, we'd go inside and we'd say hello, and after a little bit, my dad'd be like, "Who wants to go for a drive?" So we'd all hop back into the station wagon and we would drive to the Little People's Forest or the university and walk around. Then we'd get cappuccinos or hot chocolate or go to Hoagie Havens and get sandwiches or ice cream. My mom moved to Australia when I was 10. I would occasionally visit her, but I mostly lived with my dad and two of my brothers. This could have been a close thing, but it wasn't. My dad worked 7:30 to 7:30 most days, and my brothers would let me hang out with them and some of their friends, not so much before I was a teenager, though. So I just wandered the city alone. High school, I did a lot of arts. We did sewing, painting, drawing, cooking. My friends and I, we'd eat together, hang out together. We'd walk around the lakefront, the zoo. I had that sleepover house, the hangout house, for a couple of years. When I was 15, my dad took me to a boarding school in Arezzo, Italy, in a vineyard right outside of Arezzo, Italy. It was beautiful. I went willingly. When I got there, it was towering sunflowers on one side and fields of grapevines all around. When I got in, it was a shock. They did a strip search. They took all my clothes, my music, my books, my cigarettes, which was great because smoking is terrible for you. That school was a therapeutic boarding school run by some folks in California, a place called CEDU. It was a lot more than I thought it was going to be. So that night, I ran away. I slept in the bushes by the train station for two nights trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. I decided I'd go to the police station and tell them these people had my passport and I wanted it so I could go home. Needless to say, they brought me back to school and drove away. So I was in trouble for running away, and I was put on what is called bands and work detail. Nobody was allowed to look at me or talk to me for 3 months, except for when we were in group, which was 1 hour twice a week. I wasn't allowed to go to school. I had to do work details. So from the morning until dinner time, I did meaningless tasks, like I had to de-weed a driveway that was so long it took you at least 10 minutes to walk to the end of it. Nobody cared. Nobody ever got out of their car to look at that driveway. Anyway, I was there over a year, and I made some amazing friends there. At around the year part, we ran away to Florence, a group of my friends and I, and we were there for a week before they found us and brought us back. When we got back, they wanted to put us all on bands and work detail, and we said, no, we're not going to follow these rules, and we wrote up an organized letter of demands of how we wanted to change things. We organized group walkouts into town. Our cohesive chaos pretty much closed down the school. I moved back to Chicago a bit before 18. At 18, I was asked to leave home. So with my brothers and some friends, we went road tripping. We went to visit various communes. We bathed in the river. We ate in the park on our camp stove. We went to Spokane and Seattle, and then ended up in Bend, Oregon, living in our van by the river. For the next few years, I went from Chicago to Oregon, different parts. Having kids at a young age was more isolating than I thought. I loved my kids. I love my kids. But when I first had kids, all the other moms were at least 15 years older than me. And at 21, that felt old. And now it's the flip. I have a 3-year-old, and I'm at least 15 years older than any of the other moms I know. Back then, I didn't realize that we were probably all in the same emotional state. We needed someone to support us who had families and babies. At the time, they seemed so well put together and so different than myself that I didn't reach out. It's really hard for me to reach out, but I love the community, and I'm still trying to do that now today. When I first moved to Viroqua, I had just left my full-time job at Starbucks, which was great because I wanted to be around more. My kids were starting school here. Mag was going into 8th grade, Oren into 6th, Nanuka into kindergarten, and Isla was still at home with me. It was very different here. And change and growth can be very hard. I loved Viroqua at first, but it started feeling very isolated. My husband at the time worked all the time, and it felt lonely. I didn't really know where to go to find community and where to connect. My mom was luckily here, so my mom and Isla and I, we would hang out in the park or we'd go to the library. But it was hard to connect. Threads. I started dreaming of a business once I was in Viroqua, at the little tobacco warehouse, not the either big ones, but that little one. And I thought, oh, I could put a cafe with couches and stuff in there, and we could do like an aerial art studio and a capoeira studio, and there could be apartments, and I could get all those people that I knew in Chicago to move here and teach classes. And then it sold, and it seems like it's been empty ever since, although supposedly there's something there. I'm not sure what, but I never stopped dreaming of that place. These are just snippets of my threads that brought me here. I've always tried to create my lifestyle, a home, a family, a community. I've loved having big family. I always wanted a huge family. Not just my blood, but anyone that I connect with that has integrity and love and respect and gives it back. COVID was a hard time, but apart from the illness and all the fear that everyone had, I really loved it. I loved being at home more with my family again. And that's when we created Magpie Gelato. I wanted that place that we could all come together, play games, read books, do music, where people were allowed to just be themselves and just sit and be, and then be with other people at the same time. I've been told this is sometimes called the third place. Not home, not work, but the third place, the place you go and gather. And I guess that's where I'll leave you, with a snippet of my life and how I got here. These are some of my threads and my needle. I love my people. I love my community. I hope to keep making connections and expanding our energies. See you around.